Chapter 11 The Firebolt. Harry didn't have a very clear idea of how he had managed to get back into the Honeyduke's cellar, through the tunnel and into the castle once more. All he knew was that the return trip seemed to take no time at all, and that he hardly noticed what he was doing, because his head was still pounding with the conversation he had just heard. Why had nobody ever told him? Dumbledore, Hagrid, Mr. Weasley, Cornelius Fudge, why hadn't anyone ever mentioned the fact that Harry's parents had died because their best friend had betrayed them? Ron and Hermione watched Harry nervously all through dinner, not daring to talk about what they'd overheard, because Percy was sitting close by them. When they went upstairs to the crowded common room, it was to find Fred and George had set off half a dozen dung bombs in a fit of end-of-term high spirits. Harry, who didn't want Fred and George asking him whether he'd reached Hogsmeade or not, sneaked quietly up to the empty dormitory and headed straight for his bedside cabinet. He pushed his books aside and quickly found what he was looking for. The leather-bound photo album Hagrid had given him 2 years ago, which was full of wizard pictures of his mother and father. He sat down on his bed, drew the hangings around him, and started turning the pages, searching, until he stopped on a picture of his parents' wedding day. There was his father, waving up at him, beaming, the untidy black hair Harry had inherited standing up in all directions. There was his mother, alight with happiness, arm in arm with his dad. And there, that must be him, their best man. Harry had never given him a thought before. If he hadn't known it was the same person, he would never have guessed it was black in this old photograph. His face wasn't sunken and waxy, but handsome, full of laughter. Had he already been working for Voldemort when this picture was taken? Was he already planning the deaths of the two people next to him? Did he realize he was facing 12 years in Azkaban, 12 years which would make him unrecognizable? But the Dementors don't affect him, Harry thought, staring into the handsome, laughing face. He doesn't have to hear my mum screaming if they get too close. Harry slammed the album shut, reached over and stuffed it back into his cabinet, took off his robes and glasses, and got into bed, making sure the hangings were hiding him from view. The dormitory door opened. "Harry?" said Ron's voice uncertainly. But Harry lay still, pretending to be asleep. He heard Ron leave again, and rolled over on his back, his eyes wide open. A hatred, such as he had never known before, was coursing through Harry like poison. He could see Black laughing at him through the darkness, as though somebody had pasted the picture from the album over his eyes. He watched, as though somebody was playing him a piece of film, Sirius Black blasting Peter Pettigrew, who resembled Neville Longbottom, into 1,000 pieces. He could hear, though he had no idea what Black's voice might sound like, a low, excited mutter. "It has happened, my lord. The Potters have made me their secret keeper." And then came another voice, laughing shrilly, the same laugh that Harry heard inside his head whenever the Dementors drew near.
"Harry, you look terrible."
Harry hadn't gone to sleep until daybreak. He had awoken to find the dormitory deserted, dressed, and gone down the spiral staircase to a common room that was completely empty, except for Ron, who was eating a peppermint toad and massaging his stomach, and Hermione, who had spread her homework over 3 tables.
"Where is everyone?" said Harry.
"Gone! It's the first day of the holidays, remember?"
said Ron, watching Harry closely.
"It's nearly lunchtime. I was going to come and wake you up in a minute."
Harry slumped into a chair next to the fire. Snow was still falling outside the windows. Crookshanks was spread out in front of the fire like a large ginger rug.
"You really don't look well, you know," Hermione said, peering anxiously into his face.
"I'm fine," said Harry.
"Harry, listen," said Hermione, exchanging a look with Ron. "You must be really upset about what we heard yesterday, but the thing is, you mustn't go doing anything stupid."
"Like what?" said Harry.
"Like trying to go after Black," said Ron sharply.
Harry could tell they had rehearsed this conversation while he had been asleep. He didn't say anything.
"You won't, will you, Harry?" said Hermione.
"Because Black's not worth dying for," said Ron.
Harry looked at them. They didn't seem to understand at all.
"Do you know what I see and hear every time a Dementor gets too near me?"
Ron and Hermione shook their heads, looking apprehensive.
"I can hear my mum screaming and pleading with Voldemort. And if you'd heard your mum screaming like that, just about to be killed, you wouldn't forget it in a hurry. And if you found out someone who was supposed to be a friend of hers betrayed her and sent Voldemort after her..."
"There's nothing you can do," said Hermione, looking stricken. "The Dementors will catch Black, and he'll go back to Azkaban and serve him right."
"You heard what Fudge said. Black isn't affected by Azkaban like normal people are. It's not a punishment for him like it is for the others."
"So what are you saying?" said Ron, looking very tense.
"You want to kill Black or something?"
"Don't be silly," said Hermione, in a panicky voice. "Harry doesn't want to kill anyone, do you, Harry?"
Again, Harry didn't answer. He didn't know what he wanted to do. All he knew was that the idea of doing nothing while Black was at liberty was almost more than he could stand.
"Malfoy knows," he said abruptly. "Remember what he said to me in Potions? If it was me, I'd hunt him down myself. I'd want revenge."
"You're going to take Malfoy's advice instead of ours?" said Ron furiously. "Listen, you know what Pettigrew's mother got back after Black had finished with him? Dad told me. The Order of Merlin, first class, and Pettigrew's finger in a box. That was the biggest bit of him they could find. Black's a madman, Harry, and he's dangerous."
"Malfoy's dad must have told him," said Harry, ignoring Ron. "He was right in Voldemort's inner circle."
"Say you know who, will you?" interjected Ron angrily.
So obviously the Malfoys knew Black was working for Voldemort.
"And Malfoy'd love to see you blown into about a million pieces, like Pettigrew. Get a grip! Malfoy's just hoping you'll get yourself killed before he has to play you at Quidditch."
"Harry, please," said Hermione, her eyes now shining with tears.
"Please be sensible. Black did a terrible, terrible thing, but don't put yourself in danger. It's what Black wants. Oh, Harry, you'd be playing right into Black's hands if you went looking for him. Your mum and dad wouldn't want you to get hurt, would they? They'd never want you to go looking for Black."
"I'll never know what they'd have wanted, because thanks to Black, I've never spoken to them," said Harry shortly.
There was a silence, in which Crookshanks stretched luxuriously, flexing his claws. Ron's pocket quivered.
"Look," said Ron, obviously casting around for a change of subject. "It's the holidays. It's nearly Christmas. Let's go down and see Hagrid. We haven't visited him for ages."
"No," said Hermione quickly. "Harry isn't supposed to leave the castle, Ron."
"Yeah, let's go," said Harry, sitting up. "And I can ask him how come he never mentioned Black when he told me all about my parents."
Further discussion of Sirius Black plainly wasn't what Ron had had in mind.
"Or we could have a game of chess," he said hastily, "or gobstones. Percy left a set.